Hey y'all, I'm Lynn Winter, a lawyer by day and wife, mom, dance teacher, fitness instructor, and time management expert by all the free time I have made for myself. When returning to big law after maternity leave, I knew I needed to maximize my productivity at work so I could be present for my daughter and husband the moment I walked in the door. So I became obsessed with all things time management and productivity so I could do all the things I had to do plus all the things I wanted to as well. Now I share all my tried and true methods to help you organize your own life while dropping some real life moments in between. Sit back because this is the Life in Motion podcast. Well, everybody, welcome back to season two of the Life in Motion podcast. I'm super excited today because I have somebody I truly look up to as my first guest of season two. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her and then we'll see if you can guess who it is. So she is the 44th mayor of the city in which I live in. She's the longest serving female mayor.
Not the longest serving, period.
I guess who it is now. She has been married to her husband for over 40 years, and you can often see her riding around the city of Fort Worth on her bike. I am super excited and blessed to have with me Mayor Betsy Price, the mayor of the city of Fort Worth. Welcome, Mayor Price. How are you?
I'm good, Lynn. Thank you.
Awesome.
It's great to be with you. And I'm the longest serving mayor of all the mayors.
All the mayors.
Not just longest. I'm the second female, but
that's
the
awesome.
Longest serving of all of them.
That is so amazing.
I probably have no brains left at all.
Yeah.
For 10 years.
I know. I always love watching presidents when they start in office. And then when they leave and you watch them kind of age
transition
and
yeah,
it's
and
so
I'm 2 years past any president because I'm in my 10th year.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Pretty well, amazing.
It is. Yeah. I love it.
I never set out to do that.
No, I bet you didn't at all. But here you are and doing amazing things for our city. But yeah, tell our listeners, for those people who perhaps are not from the DFW area, a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I am the 44th mayor of Fort Worth, the longest serving, and one of only two women. The other woman is our Congresswoman Kay Granger. I started out my political career, public service. I always say I am not a politician, and the minute I become a politician, I want to go home. I'm in this for my city because this is where I was born, this is where my children live, where my grandchildren are, and we intend to stay here, and I'm about the service. But I started out as Tarrant County's tax assessor. Spent nearly 11 years there and now 10 years here. And before that, I was a small business owner, mother of three, six grandchildren now. And my grandmother's name is Tootsie.
I love that.
That's another whole story. But, you know, raising my kids and running my business. And I've been married to my husband for 48 and a half years, a long time.
You're almost at 50.
Yeah, we're not far. It's hard to believe how that goes. But I'm native of Fort Worth, and my husband's a business owner also. So we've always had a lot going. You know, I'm one of those people that, as my husband says, if you don't have something on your plate, you just make trouble. And that's probably true. So
yeah,
I've always stayed busy doing a little bit of everything.
I can totally relate to that. My husband is the same thing. He's like, Lynn, if you are standing still, you're nervous because you need to do something all the time. So I can totally
see. And I'm like that. It's not just that I'm nervous standing still. It's people. I need to see people. Tom always said you need to meet 15 to 20 new people a day or you're not happy. In fact, this COVID has nearly killed me. Because I can't get out and see people, and I'm a hugger, and I haven't been able to hug everybody. And my security details, just like when the restaurants finally opened, staff said, well, we'll order in. They said, oh, no, she's going to go out so
she needs
can see
to see
some
people.
And I do.
I know. Which it's which is one of the things I think people most know you for here in the city is that you are so approachable and you really are about the people. And that one of the big things, if you don't know about our mayor, is her rolling town halls, which I think is one of the reasons that makes you so approachable. So tell me a little bit about how the rolling town halls started.
You know, the rolling town halls started the first year I was in office, and they were to engage people because one of the backbones of my administration has been public engagement, because I truly believe that you can't govern behind a desk. You have to be out talking to people, seeing their neighborhoods, visiting with their families, seeing their children's schools to learn to do things. So, and then the flip side was, I'm an avid cyclist and have been for 35 or 40 years. And I could tell that this job was going to really cut into my cycling. And so selfishly, I thought, okay, we're going to just do, instead of sedate town halls, we're going to do them on bicycles. So we've done walking ones, we've done rolling ones, we've done regular town halls, but we try to do our town halls and see different sections of neighborhood. And it's amazing the following that's picked up. And we have anywhere from 35 people to, during the tour to Fort Worth, we'll have 300 or 400 people ride with us. And we've seen almost every section of the city. And it is amazing what you see from a bicycle seat. You know, you find out where the potholes are, you find out what trees need to be trimmed, you find out whose neighborhood needs curbs and sidewalks and street lights, just all kinds of things. And we would take people on the rolling town halls, and some of the regulars would say, I've never been to this part of the city, I didn't even know it existed. And I think that's critical to get people to cross over and see different parts of the city. So they've been fun.
Yeah, I bet.
My security detail, when I first was elected, said, I said, you guys ride bikes? And they said, no, we don't ride bikes.
Oh, you're about to.
Said, you better get after it, because we're going to. And I mean, literally, I thought they were going to lose their mind. They said, how exactly do we do this and keep you safe and keep... I said, I don't know. That's your job.
My job is just to get out here and see
but
the people.
But they figured it out, and staff rides with me. My staff has all got bikes, and it's been really fun to do, and we have really, really missed it since March.
I bet. So tell me how you got into cycling.
You know, I have a daughter and a son, and 7 years later had a third child, had another son. And Catherine was 10 and Paul was 7 when Philip came along. And I was a big runner and walker then. And I've always ridden. I grew up riding bikes with my brother. And Tom and I rode bikes some before we had kids. And then we kind of got away from it a little bit. But we started riding with Catherine and Paul. Then when I got pregnant with Philip, I thought, what can we do that the whole family can do together? And riding was perfect because I had a little trailer, and I could put him in that trailer and take him with us and take him with them, and it just kind of grew. I got hooked on it, and I would ride even when they were in school. If I wasn't working that day, and usually I was, but I'd take lunchtime and get Philip, put him in his trailer, and he'd take his nap in that trailer. And I came across my log the other day where I logged all my miles, and I realized I added it up, and I had taken him 5,000 miles in his bike trailer from the time he was about 8 months old till he was too big to pump anymore, probably 4.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it just, and then it stayed. Tom rides, and he got started riding with me, and we realized it was great stress relief. Some of our friends ride, and, you know, we've had great fun going, riding Ragbri, which is a ride across Iowa, doing the Ride for the Roses in Austin. We've done Hotter Than Hell 6 times, just all kinds of stuff. The goal is to ride in all 50 states, and we've got a ways to go. We're only at about 20.
Yeah.
We've done 18 or 20 of them, but we'll get it done.
That's more than I will ever ride in, so I'll give it to you that. So I take it that being active is a huge part of your life.
Yeah, it's how I keep my sanity. You know, when you've got a family of 3, and you've got 2 businesses, 2 startup businesses of your own, and you're a big volunteer. I mean, I was a junior league member, PTA president, Sunday school teacher, junior women's club, just volunteer for All Church Home, which is now ACH, just all kinds of things. You have to do something to keep your sanity focused. And certainly in this job as mayor, you got to do something that's a good energy release that just keeps you, that lets you work so hard. I mean, 5 minutes on my bike or 5 minutes of walking or running or doing weights, I've forgotten about everything else, and I'm concentrating on the pain there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want to do it hard enough that you get your focus on that. And then I just feel so much better the rest of the day.
Yeah. So tell me, since it's so important to you, is that one of your non-negotiables? Like, it has to happen every day?
It is one of my non-negotiables. My calendar has, from the day I was first elected, had it either says Jim or it says Tarp. And Tim Tarpley is my trainer, and it says Tarp time. And nobody messes with my workout times. My family knows that. My staff knows that. Now, if something really happens, we'll shift it and find another opening. I mean, I've been known to go to the Y and swim at lunch or late in the day before dinner receptions and just block off enough time to get cleaned up and get back in cocktail clothes after business attire. It just has to be. I do it 6 days a week.
That's awesome. So do you have other non-negotiables in your life that help you keep that balance between work and life?
I do. You know, Friday night has always been date night for us. We go, when our kids were little, we always, of course, went out because when you got little big kids,
you have to get out. Yes, I know.
And then after they were grown, it's just us. We sometimes go out, sometimes stay home. We sometimes go to friends' houses. But it's always Tom and I. That's our time. And then the other non-negotiable is Sundays. We go to church. Right now, we go to church on the sofa with a cup of hot tea, which is great.
I know.
Do love not having to get dressed.
I was going
to
say, you can do it in your pajamas
if
you want.
I hate to admit that, but I do. And then Sundays are family time. Okay. Sometimes on Friday, we'll have some of the grandkids. This past Friday, we had our middle two with us Friday night, and that was fun. But it's Tom and I are family, and Sunday's always family time. Now, occasionally we'll go to somebody's church, and we'll go together, or we'll have something small going on Sunday. But nearly always we do something with our family.
That's awesome. I think that's something you just don't hear a lot about anymore. We are so go, go, go. And I think especially women, we're afraid to block out that time for ourselves, whether to work out. And I love that your relationship with your husband is still important.
Yeah, he's my best friend. And, you know, I've told my kids and I've told other friends who were marrying, said, you know, if your spouse isn't your best friend, you better think about this situation. And when you have children, you really better think about spending time with your spouse, because you're going to spend a whole lot more time with that person than you'll ever spend raising children. Think about it. The average child you got at home till, say, 20.
Yeah.
And maybe strung out, you've got kids at home for 25 years, 28 or so. Mm-hmm. And you're liable to spend another 30 or 40 with your spouse.
You better like them.
You better like them. You better have a lot in common.
I know.
You just better spend that time. You better keep knowing them. I've had more friends who, after they raised their kids, ended up divorcing, and they said, we just drifted apart. We got so busy with what we were doing, we forgot what it was we liked about each other. And my kids will tell you that we've always been, you know, daddy comes first or mother comes first, and then we think about the kids.
Yeah, I love it.
Which our kids are not neglected. I know that's
right.
True.
No,
they're spoiled rotten.
Yes.
So certainly our grandkids are. But they're really good kids. And the unusual thing about our kids, and we're very, very blessed, all three of our children married men or women whose parents had also been married 40 years or more.
That's amazing.
I think that sets a good example for them and a good example for my grandchildren.
Yeah, you modeled the modeling of that behavior, and so that's just what they grew up with and knew and sought out.
And it's a commitment. It takes time. Trust me, in 48 years, there's been times I wanted to go, I'm going to wring your neck or I'm going to get you out the door.
Yeah.
But it's just not the case. It's better to persevere. There's a reason you fell in love with them to begin with, and you have to remind yourself of that.
You do. I love it. My husband and I, too, Saturday night is always our date night. We started that as soon as my daughter was born, and I think it's so important to continue to pursue that relationship. So,
it really is. It really is. It's just because you really will have a lot more time with him than you will with your daughter.
Yes, I know. Sad as that sounds, someday she'll leave me.
They're never gone.
No.
They will marry and have their own spouses. And then you, adult children are wonderful. I love my children. I love kids.
Yeah.
But adult children are wonderful fun, too.
I know. I've realized that as I've, now that I have a daughter, that my mom and I, our relationship is so much different than it was growing up. And it's been fun to kind of rekindle that relationship. And all the time I'm apologizing to her. I'm like, oh my gosh, mom, I'm so sorry for whatever I did. Because you don't realize it until you've got a child of your own. And you're like, I'm raising myself. How did you do it?
I know. So, I can remember when I had Catherine, my first one, saying that to my mother. Oh my gosh, my mother used to just say, she's just like you, and paybacks are hell.
Yes, yes, but it's been a lot of fun. So your grandchildren, I know that they're super, super important to you. And I've heard you have a little back to school tradition that you do with your kids.
I do. My older two, or my grandchildren now, are 13, 12, 7, 4, 2.5, and 5 months.
You've got the gamut.
We got the gamut. So the ones that are in school, we go the first day of school always. And if they don't eat lunch at school, I pick them up and take them to lunch. And this year they had to eat at school because the older two, the 7-year-old's not back in school yet. Yeah. He doesn't start till the 8th, but the older two are back. And we're trying to see how it was going to work to space out the classes for lunch. So they ate lunch on campus, but mm-hmm. we took them then for ice cream. And, you know, that's always the tradition. We do ice cream or yogurt unless we do lunch. It's really fun. And I told somebody this year, they said, you need to do so-and-so. I said, no, because at some point my 13-year-old's going to say, I don't want Tootsie to come get me.
Yeah, I bet. They get to that age.
I just don't miss it. And my 7-year-old will start back to school virtually, but I'll go get him that afternoon after his classes and take him for something.
That's so awesome. I love hearing that they take such a presence and importance in your life, even though you are so busy.
Oh, they're a hoot. My 4-year-old said, they were with us Friday night, and I was giving her a bath. And I have 5 boys and 1 girl, and she's the pampered princess, of course. And she was looking around the house, and she said, oh, Tootsie, you've got this, and you've got that. This is just a magical house, and it's because you're the mayor. And Emery has no clue what the mayor is.
No.
But she's impressed with
she
the sound.
Is, yes. She probably thinks she wear a crown and just that is.
They do funny things, Mike. 12-year-old, when he was in preschool, he was 4, I guess, marched into his class one day, and he's like his grandmother, he's kind of headstrong, put his hands on his hips, his teacher told him to do something, put his hands on his hips and said, I do not have to, my Tootsie is the boss of everyone, and she would not make me do that.
That is hilarious. Oh my goodness. Oh, I love it though.
Grandkids are the best. I mean, they are the gift. You raise your children, and then when you get grandchildren, it's just a real blessing.
Yes, I figured that out with my mom. I mm-hmm. come home every day, and there's probably some sort of Amazon package at my mm-hmm. door. Since she doesn't live here, she's sending things. And
you can spoil them rotten and send them home for somebody else to raise.
Exactly. That is what she tells me all the time, and I'm like, okay, Mom. And she said, it's payback.
That's right.
But the best kind, though.
That's
so
the best kind.
I know. I love it. So I know at the heart of everything you do is really the people and volunteerism and public service. And there is a new initiative that I know that you're supporting, the Appointments Project.
Yeah.
I want to hear how this came to be and why it is so important to you.
You know, it's very important, particularly, it's important that everybody know what they can do to help their city. And because when you live somewhere, I was raised, my parents told us always at the dinner table, take your time, your talent, your money, whatever you have, your personality, and give something back to the city where you live, to the community where you live. This is my way of giving back, and I think everybody needs to figure out what they can do to give back, or at bare minimum, how they can be informed about how government functions. Far too many people don't have a clue how government works, particularly city government, what we really do. So the Appointments Project, and a lot of women think they don't have the time or they don't have the resources, and women are notorious for not putting themselves out there and committing.
We just can't toot our own horn at all.
No, we're not good at that. So the Appointments Project is about getting more women, and particularly women in the minority community, to serve on boards and commissions. The city has 322 seats on boards, commission, and task force, and less than a third of that is made up of women. That's a staggering number when we make up nearly 51% of the population.
Yeah.
And so my friend Sly James, who is now retired, but was the mayor of Kansas City, and his chief of staff started this call, the Appointments Project, to get more women involved. And he asked, would we like to be the next city to do it?
Civic boards and commissions should reflect the communities they serve. The Appointments Project increases the number of women serving on civic boards and commissions. Its goal is to help women navigate the appointment process and engage elected officials to make appointments that reflect their communities. It is such an important project that is going on and something that the City of Fort Worth is truly focusing on. The Appointments Project increases trust, provides greater confidence, gives women a better sense of community, and is a positive community involvement. If you are interested in the Appointments Project or any of the civic boards or commissions in the City of Fort Worth, you can head to theappointmentprojects.org, www.appointmentsproject.org.
And we said, yeah, we'd love to do that. So we're just now rolling it out. We've had two training sessions, and it'll give women the confidence, because many women think, I don't know what they do. I'm not going to volunteer to do that. And this will teach them about different boards, teach them a little bit about how to put themselves out, how to submit maybe their resume for a board, at bare minimum, how to watch council online and get engaged and see what's going on. A little bit about city government in general. It's just a really exciting project. And long term, the hope is that more women will say, after serving on boards and commissions, oh, I need to run for office. You know, whether they serve here at the city, whether they're on the school board, water board, county, whether they go to Austin or Washington, we need more women. I mean, think, Fort Worth's nearly, 200 years old or better, mm-hmm. and we've had two women mayors. And for the first time ever, we have four women serving on council.
Yeah, it's crazy. What do you think?
And in the top 25 cities until recently, of the top 25 cities, I was one of, for a good long while, I was the only woman. Mm-hmm. Now there's several more. Anise Parker, when I was first elected, was there in Houston. But in the big cities, you just don't see that too much. It's a big commitment.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what do you think holds women back from pursuing, you know, public office or, you know, really serving on boards and commissions?
I think a whole lot of it is time. Women tend to be, even in today's world where men are so much better about helping with children and helping with the cooking and doing stuff, really it tends to, if you have children, it tends to fall much more on mom mm-hmm. than anybody. And most women are busy growing their career and raising their kids and nurturing their marriage if it's meant to be. And they just don't take the time to think, I could do that too. And it's not a priority. I think that we don't do a really good job in school of teaching civics anymore and teaching that social engagement that comes with being involved in government at any level. And I think women tend to just say, I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. So what made you really feel the call to do it?
Oh, you know, years ago when I had my business, I had a title company and I worked not traditional land title, but I did auto title licensing and property tax work for a bunch of the car dealers in town, about 50 of them. And the tax office is where you do all those transfers. Mm-hmm. And that office was so poorly run. It just was, the service was awful. The attitude was terrible. Their budget was a mess, and I kept saying to all my clients, somebody needs to do something about this office. It just drives me crazy. It's slowing your business down because we can't get your work back to you quickly. And finally, a couple of my car dealers said, why don't you do it? Somebody, you've been saying for 2 years, somebody needs to do it, and yeah. that somebody ought to be you. And I just had thought, well, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I went home and told Tom what I was thinking about doing. He said, I married you for better or worse, but not for politics.
Yeah.
But he said, you want to do it? We're all in. And the kids thought it was great. And mm-hmm. then when I decided to run for mayor, they really did think I'd lost my mind, because tax assessor's more an administrative yeah. job. And it's a paid job. It's a paid position. It's an elected position, but right. it is a salaried position. And the mayor's job is not.
Right.
$29,000. I mean, that's barely a salary. I figured out the first year I was in office, it's about 73 cents an hour.
Well.
but you're not in it.
You're not in it for money.
At the point in my life that I'm at now, mm-hmm. I'm not in this for the money.
Right.
We had the luxury of being able to do this, but the demands of being mayor are totally different than tax assessor. But
right.
I mean, my kids were like, go for it, Mom, it'll be awesome. And Tom was like, I don't know about this. But, you know, we got recruited to do it, and I just finally said, if my family will say yes, I'm in. And the rest is history. I've been here nearly 10 years.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've got a super supportive family system that really has always been behind you.
Yeah, they've always been there to help. And they, you know, most of the time they think it's fun. Sometimes when I have to say, no, I can't babysit, or I'll be late to this function or that function, or occasionally if I'm traveling on business, I'll miss something. And I try not to do that. Usually when they're planning kids' birthday parties or family gatherings, they'll call and say, Mom, this date's written in stone.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll call and say, here's a series of dates, pick which one, and we'll work our schedule around yours. So they've been very good.
That's so amazing. I think a lot of women are afraid sometimes mm-hmm. to say, hey, I have these hopes and dreams. Will you support me?
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome that you have
that
support
system.
Yeah,
you just have to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be surprised what you get when you can ask.
I have realized that as you know, the years of my husband and I being married, that it's if I approach and just say, hey, this is important to mm-hmm. me and I really want to do it,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully you married a person or you're with people who see that.
Yeah. Because you and I both know, as women, you'll do that for your husband.
Yep.
Or you'd do it for your kids.
Of course.
So why wouldn't they do it for you?
Exactly.
You just really have to ask, and that's not in most of ours nature.
It really isn't, and
we're just women, just by nature, are more helpers behind the scenes.
They totally are. And I don't know how to foster that in women. I know you speak to lots of different people, but what would you say?
You just have to be that role model. You just have to say, look, if I can do this with the demands on my time, you know, the age I am, it's just, you can do it. You mm-hmm. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to take that first little step. I mean, when I decided to run the first time for tax assessor, I went to see one of the big political gurus in town, and he said, you cannot do this. You cannot win this race. And I said, why? And he said, you don't have any political affiliation, and you don't have any name ID in the community. And I said, but I've got great grassroots support. And he said, that won't do it. And when I won, and won big time in a field of five men, he said, I will eat my words. I've never seen so many PTA mothers, so many junior league mothers, so many of your cycle friends, so many of your church friends working the polls and, you know, waving at people. All those years of driving carpool and waving at people just finally paid off. And I think young women have to find somebody that they admire and say, if they can do it, I can too. And everybody does it. You got to have a little confidence in yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to realize nobody's path is the same. And it's really, part of it's about timing. I couldn't have done this in my 40s. I couldn't have, not because I couldn't do it mentally, but
right.
I had too many other demands.
Yeah.
I had a young family, I had a business, and I still could volunteer, but I couldn't put myself out to do this. So timing's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Many girls that I talk to say, I want to be in politics, and I want to start now, and they're in their 20s or early 30s. I'm going, no, you've got the rest of your life. Start your volunteer path.
Mm-hmm.
Serve on a board, a commission. Find something that you're passionate about, and then parlay that into something later when your family's ready to help you.
Yeah,
there are young women do it.
There
but
are. It's harder, though.
It's harder.
Yeah, I think
it's
you
harder.
Plant those seeds
mm-hmm.
in your 20s and your 30s,
mm-hmm.
just like you did with forming your network
yep.
and just getting to know people, and that's really what enabled you to get to that first position.
And
I
really think for most women, we tend to kind of accept where we are, and that won't get you where you need to be. I've never done anything in my life that wasn't my passion. Early on, I said, this isn't about the money. It's about service and passion. I mean, even in my job, my business was a startup from the ground up because I saw a need and I was passionate about it. My father was a car dealer. My brother was a car dealer. And I just felt like somebody needs to fill this niche and do it with some passion. And I've always told my kids, if you don't like what you're doing, quit and take your passion and do something else. And our kids have pretty much done that. They've always been successful and they do well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are days they hate what they're doing, but most of the time they're passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah. So everything you say just shows me how much family means to you. And so as a working mom, because you've worked a mom, have you ever had those times where you've like felt that mom guilt?
Oh, yeah.
So how do how do you overcome that? Or how have you been able to say, you know, but I'm still going to do these things. I have these dreams and goals.
I've had my meltdowns in my life where I had far too many irons in the fire and I would have to, and I would literally, I mean, I can remember one night when Philip, our youngest, was about 18 months old. Catherine was probably 12 and Paul was about 9, I guess. And I was vice president of the PTA and president of our Sunday school class and had my business and just taking on too much. And I can remember just literally sitting in the bathtub and boo-hooing. And Tom said, you're the one that's going to have to straighten this out. Mm-hmm. You've gotten in too deep. And I thought, well, he's exactly right. It's okay to say no. Ask my staff. No is not a word I know very well. I'm not very good. I mean, first year I was in office, they were like, what part of no can't you spell?
Yeah, it's a complete sentence. It's N-O, period. That's hard.
They gave me a button that sits on my desk that says no, and you tap it again, it says hell no. And what part of that didn't you get on the third one? But I still not very good. But I think, I mean, yeah. I mean, there have been times when my kids were, I mean, I still to this day, I can remember working. Philip was at Montessori preschool. Catherine and Paul were in regular school. And I worked in the morning, took off in the afternoon, and I was co-chairman of the children's area at Mayfest. And we were getting set up for Mayfest. And I looked up at my watch and thought, okay, well, I guess in a few minutes I have to go get Catherine and Paul. I had forgotten to go get Philip. I was supposed to have gotten Philip an hour and a half before. Yep. And that was before cell phones, and his school had been frantically calling me.
A home phone that you're not at, right?
Fortunately, they had gotten a hold of Tom, and he had to leave work and go get him. He said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. And to this day, I still have mom guilt about leaving my child at school.
Yeah, but we've all done it.
But I'm not the only mother that's ever
We have all been there. Yeah. So I think it just goes to show that, like, I think so many women think, oh, well, I'm alone or no one does this, but we all do it.
We all do it. We all do it. We all make mistakes.
We all have those moments.
And we all have serious fatigue, particularly when you have little babies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just running on fumes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just forgive yourself. And if you are too strung out, I mean, say no. Mm-hmm. The world will still keep spinning if you take the time out to do something.
Yeah.
And children grow up far too fast. I mean, I really watched mine grow. I don't know how the heck I got to be 70 years old. I can't figure that out. But I did. And how my kids got to be that age. But, you know, there are times, if I look back, I would have done a little less of a few things. But I always did make time for them.
Yeah.
They may tell you I didn't sometimes when they wanted something. But
you do the best you can.
Yeah. I mean, just and make special memories. We took our kids, my sister-in-law and I took, and she took her two, and I didn't have Philip then. It was before we had Philip. We took our older two on a week on the sesquicentennial wagon train with my father, which was quite an adventure with he was 72 at the time, and four kids under the age of 10, and two mules and a wagon and two horses, and we rode outriders, my sister-in-law and I, and the kids rode with him. But to this day, they talk about that. And I wish they'd done something like that when Philip was older.
But it's about
making, we did other things with him.
Yeah, it's those memories. Yeah. It's about making the memories.
And if you can't, you know, people always go, well, I'd like to take my kids on a trip. If you can't afford to take them on vacation, go to the zoo.
Yeah.
Take a day and go to the zoo. Go to the museum. Mm-hmm. Take them on a bike ride.
My
older two don't ride bikes because we burned them out, but my younger one does.
Yeah. I know. Well, I've also...
And my grandkids ride with us now.
I've learned during quarantine when, you know, I was working from home and, you know, I had Evelyn with me and she constantly was wanting to do stuff with me. And I realized that it wasn't so much about how long I spent with her. It was just doing something mm-hmm. with her. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's what your kids are. It's not about what you're doing. It's just that you're spending that time with them. Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of... I think moms, too, we think we need to do these big extravagant things.
And particularly, I've watched that happen. the last 20 years that has escalated. Mm-hmm. It's like every mom thinks they got to outdo another mom.
Yes.
Your kids don't remember those things. They remember the times you made cookies with them.
Yes.
Or
yes.
the times you took them on a walk to find acorns and leaves to make a collage.
Yep.
That I mean, my kids remember that. My grandkids remember that stuff. Little stuff that doesn't. Is the best stuff because it doesn't stress you. You're a lot more relaxed.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that'll be one of the real pluses of COVID. I think people have spent more time with their families.
Oh, yes.
And more time exercising and taking care of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And for everybody, that'll pay back.
We were forced to slow down. Mm-hmm. We were forced to be outside more. And I think it reminds me a lot more of my childhood mm-hmm. growing up.
Yeah, mine
too. Which I miss. And so I love that my daughter's gotten to experience that part of life a little bit more. So I know. Well, I know you're a busy woman, but I want to ask you, what if you is like your best time management tip? You do so many things. So what is like the one thing that you would say is your best tip that you could give people?
That's a really good question. Do it better than I do. I've got the luxury now of having a lot of time.
Yeah.
To commit to this mm-hmm. Because I don't have kids at home.
Right.
And, but really, probably the best time management is really and truly learn to say no mm-hmm. to some things.
Yeah.
Just, and commit to having, if you're married, date night. If not, if you're single, find an hour or two or three for yourself sometime. And then the other time management is what you opened with. Always, always find time to get some type of exercise.
Yes.
That's really the key to managing all of it.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
You bet.
I love it. I've enjoyed it. I got to learn some other things, and yeah. hopefully it will show other moms and women out there that you can do it all if you put your mind to it.
And you got to be about half crazy to do it.
Well, yes.
My staff used to call me CL. It stood for crazy lady. Lovingly.
Yes, a lovingly thing.
And my staff at the tax office referred to me always as the hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
Or the tornado. Beth refers to me, my scheduler, uh-huh. as the tornado. She always says, we know when you're not here, it's quiet. The minute you arrive,
the storm comes in. I love it. Well, thank
but
you.
But it's not dull.
It's never a dull moment. Thank you so
you
much.
You bet, Lynn. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And just like that, it's another episode of the Life in Motion podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode and would like to know more, head to the show notes where you can find links to everything that we discussed today, as well as even more information. As always, if you're looking for more ways to increase your productivity and find time to do the things that you love, you can head over to www.lynnmwinter.com and join our community.